Well, let's be praying for Brother Tracy that he can get his voice back as well. So, I learned a long time ago that you should go and make sure that somebody's going to be that will is willing to pray, because I've called on people before when I first started and they say, oh no, they shake their head. And I would be at a place where it didn't have very many people, and the next one say no. And then you realize, oh, I better just say a prayer. So, you know, my new brother Tracy, I didn't know he didn't have a voice tonight, but let's be in prayer for him. You know, I also learned, I said years ago when I first started speaking, I was not going to be one of those preachers that preached on something, because that was the occasion that was going on. So I wasn't going to preach on the resurrection just because it was Easter. I wasn't going to preach about mothers on Mother's Day because it was Mother's Day. I wasn't going to preach about the birth of Christ because it's Christmas time. The Lord will let you know what you will and won't preach on very easily. This week, the birth of Christ is what's been on my mind, and it's been on my mind all week, and it hasn't left. And there's the stories around it have been where they are, so I pray that this is be of the Lord and Him showing me that when He puts it on your heart, regardless of what you think you're going to be preaching about or where you're going to stand, it's what the Lord gives you, and have trust and faith in Him that you follow that. So I say you pray with me. And over in Luke 2, we start there in the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke is very interesting because, you know, a lot of people might like to pick on me a little bit about my iPad. But when I use the iPad, it's got this little cool little button I push, and it'll parallel the Gospels. So then you parallel all the Gospels and tell you Gospel accounts right next to each other, reading them right down. And, you know, I remember using the Bible, I'd have to flip from this one to that one, or have two or three Bibles open so I could see them all together. Luke is really not parallel except for one spot in the first two chapters of it. And he lays it out, and he says he wants to tell a story. He wants to tell them from the very beginning. He wants to explain it to them from the very beginning of how this all laid out. And he goes back into John the Baptist and explaining that, and to Mary, and the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth and his birth and Jesus Christ. And he gets to this right here in chapter 2, and he's going to tell them about the birth of Jesus Christ. And you would think that the birth of Jesus Christ might get, it seems like it would get 5, 6, 8, 10 chapters or something. It gets a few verses right here in Luke 4, and he says they were going to Bethlehem. And in verse 5 in Luke 2, it says, to be taxed, Mary was exposed wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So this is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and here's His birth laid out for us in just a few little verses. The Lord doesn't need anything to be grand for Him to be grand. He doesn't need extra for Him to be all of it. The Word became flesh and was born to dwell among us. How great is that? When you try to put that into words, you can't truly put it in enough words to describe it enough. That's why I feel like the Lord didn't need to take 5, 6, 7 chapters. Because all of what He says it is that great. Because it answered questions from the Old Testament that we're going to lay out. And so He could say every jot and every tittle was accomplished, was taken care of. So when they get to that point, and here's where I want to look at, and there's a phrase down here with the shepherds I really want to get to. But then that night, and starting in verse 8, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. If you go back and look at the different accounts, he's going to tell, the angel of the Lord's going to tell Joseph, Mary, Zacharias, he's going to tell them, fear not. Fear not. When the Lord comes and shows you something and blesses you to know it to be true, a lot of times you can feel, I can be scared and be like, I don't know. The Lord can be so clear to show it to me, and I can be afraid not to want to engage in it and not to want to take it up and hold on to it. The Lord blesses us to see it and it to be true and to be right. We need to embrace it. We need to take it in. He tells them, oh, fear not. Fear not that you're going to have one that is going to be born to a woman who is barren. Fear not. Fear not that you're going to have one that is born who is a virgin. Fear not these things. He tells the shepherds, fear not that the glory of the Lord is shown all around. Fear not. I can tell you, if you're a shepherd back then, I don't do well just out in the woods by myself nowadays. I can't imagine, you know, I'm always thinking there's going to be something coming at us. You know, there's always going to be an animal or something coming out. You're a shepherd out there in the fields. You're watching your flock, and an angel of the Lord comes upon them and shines upon them. And he tells them, fear not, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news. This is what I'm coming to tell you. He didn't say, I just bring you good news and good tidings, but it's of great joy. This is how great it is. I'm coming to tell you about this. There are shepherds. He didn't go to the king of the country. He didn't go to the richest of the country. He didn't go to the most noble. He didn't do any of that. He went to shepherds out into a field. And he got them and he starts to talk to them. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So all of a sudden, now they have a multitude of angels around them. This is how great he is. That they can see this is something really big. There's a baby laying in a manger. If you look at that, it's going to answer, Isaiah talks about it. He's going to come from the city of David. And then they get there and it says in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. But that right there, they didn't stand around and debate and discuss what should we do? How should we handle this? Should we go the long way, the short way? Somebody's got to watch the flock here. They didn't debate any of that. They were shown by God that you need to go over here and see the Savior that is born amongst us, dwelling amongst us. You need to go. And that phrase they said, let us now go. And that's the thought that's been on my mind all week. Let us go. Let us go to the Lord. Let us come to church. Let us strive to go after the Lord as often as we can. And how should we do it? With haste. Make haste coming to the Lord. Make it to where it's our first priority. It's what we seek to do when we get up in the morning. And when we go to bed at night, we think of the Lord and we want to go to Him. They said, let us now go. There wasn't a question about, are we going to go? There wasn't a question how we're going to go. Is it too long? Are we too tired? Do we not have a voice? None of that was even questioned. It was, let us now go and we're going to make haste to get there. So I started thinking about the spots where in the Bible, children of God say that phrase about let us go. And one of my favorite spots is in Numbers 13. And Numbers 13 is, we all know that they're going to send spies to search out the land of Canaan. They're going to send these spies. Moses is going to send spies from every tribe to search out the land of Canaan. And he sends the spies and he says in verse 13, And 18, he says, and see if the land, if the people dwell therein, whether they be, oh, go back to 17, I'm sorry. And Moses sent them and spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward, go to the mountain. Go to the mountain. This is where we're sending you. Go to the mountain and see this land that the people dwell therein. If they be strong or weak, few or many, find out, assess the situation, and find out what it looks like over there. Go over there and see how it looks. Let's find out what we're getting ourselves into. I assure you, this teaches us that we can be cautious, but it's also going to teach us no matter what we feel like, we follow the Lord. We go to what He says, even if it doesn't make sense. If it's right with God, you go. So He's going to tell them, He says, be of good courage and bring some fruit back. Bring that fruit back and come to us. And then start in verse 25. They were there 40 days. He says, and they went in 26, says, for they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness. He says, then they showed them the fruit of the land. And in verse 27 says, then they told them and said, we came unto the land, whether thou send us, and surely it froweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So right there, he says, it's exactly what God had told us it was going to be. Did they say, well, let's go. Let's go on our journey right now. Let us go right this minute with haste into that land of Canaan. No, they say one of the scariest words there are in this is said, nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land. They were questioning God. Nevertheless, the things of this world are going on. There's big cities. There's walled cities. They're big people. We can't go up against them. The Lord never was asking them to go against these people and go up against these cities by themselves. He wasn't asking them to do it on their own. He was saying, you go and I'm going to go with you. You go over there and I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to go right there with you. But as they go, in verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. He said, let us go. Let us go into this land. Right now, let us go up at once into this land. When I think about this story, it reminds me so often, and I pray that you can see it as well as I can, that a lot of times, I forget what one of these preachers, and I'll say these older preachers that were here, Uncle Gary or Brother Sam, one of them that were here not too long ago, they were talking about all the different, if all the people at a funeral would have been coming to church, every time they leave a funeral, the place would be packed. You know, that's true. An old Baptist preaches a funeral, and it is beautiful. People amen it. They love it. They see it. They see the land and the fruit thereof and how great it is. But when they get back outside of that, and they start to say, well, I'm not sure about that. That's when they're talking about the walled cities. They're talking about, well, those people just don't have a piano. They don't do things normal. Something's just not right about that. I'm not sure we can go back. It's hard to have the mindset of Caleb and say, let us go at once into that place. Can you imagine if you had been at a Primitive Baptist funeral and you heard the truth preached? And you thought how wonderful it was. I mean, that reminds me of that cluster of grapes. That's what they're carrying out of that funeral. And what a blessing it is and they're experiencing it. And when they get out there, they can still see the cluster of grapes. But then all of a sudden, reality starts to creep in. The human mind starts to see it and say, well, that's not what I've always heard. It made sense to them. It made sense because it was the truth. The Lord had showed it to them, but it's not how they've always been shown. It's not what they've always been taught. So they're questioning it. I'm not sure about that. Nevertheless, maybe I should stay where I'm at and not go into that area, not go to the back to that church to hear that man. But we need to have a mindset like Caleb that says, let us go. Let us go in to that land and let us possess that land. When we come down and you're sitting on the back pew and not wanting to join the church, but the Lord has blessed you to know that you ought to join the church and to be baptized, the answer should be, let us go. Let us go down to the front of the church and ask for a home in the church. Let us go is a very bold statement. You know, all the time you'll see on signs for churches that says, come and see. Come and see. And that's right. The Lord says, come and see. Over there in John, he tells them to come and see. And some of the apostles say, well, come and see. Come and see what's going on. That's true. But we also have to have on the signs that says, let us go. Let us go after the Lord. Let us go to seek after Him and His teachings. And that's what over in Isaiah He's going to show us. In Isaiah 2, it says in Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He says, let us go up. Why? There's a job function, a responsibility we're supposed to do when we go after the Lord. He says, let us go that he can teach us our ways. So does that mean let us go that we can hear the teachings and we can walk out and be done? No, he makes sure that we know we have responsibility. He says that he can teach us our ways and we can walk in his paths. There is no group of people that believe in works more than the group of people right here. The ones that believe in salvation by grace. Because we understand what's been given to us and what our responsibility is, just to try to repay it. And we know we can't ever repay it. So you have to work that much harder to keep trying to do whatever you can. We believe in works. We believe in works because we know that we've been given eternal life. Because we've been saved eternally. He says, you let us go into the mountaintop. Let us go to the church of the Lord. Let us go there and hear his teachings. Let us go there that when we can hear those teachings, we can go out there and we can walk in his paths. That's not easy. That's not going to be a simple thing to do. But he tells you if you do them, you'll be likened unto a wise man that built his house on the foundation, a rock. That's what we'll be. I'm not going to be likened unto a wise man too often. I can assure you that. You all have known me well enough to know that that's not going to be the first thing you think about describing me as, oh, he's a wise man. That's not going to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth to describe me. I don't want to know what's going to come out, but that's not going to be it. But over here in Matthew 7, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's what it is. When we go, let us go into the house of the Lord and be taught his teachings, that we can walk out there, that we can follow what he's laid out for us to do, and we do it in the right manner, in the right way. And each time that we come, we pray that we grow. We pray that we grow some. And if we don't grow, we pray, Lord, to help me that the next time I can. But when we have the opportunity and we're wondering, do I really want to tonight? And can I do this or should I? I'll tell you, Sunday night's a rough night. Sunday night, I'll be honest, Sunday night when I know that there's no chance of me preaching is a lot easier. Sunday night when I know that Brother Sam's not going to come down and tell me to grab whatever that thing is that you use, grab that and come up. It's a lot easier to come on Sunday nights. But that's not what the Lord said. He didn't say when it was easy. He didn't say when it was comfortable. He didn't say when you made sure that all the things you wanted to do were right to go. And he said, no, let us now go with haste. Go to the house of the Lord. We have the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord to worship in spirit and the truth, to experience what the Lord set up when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. What a blessing it is for us to get to say we went to the Lord's house today. We got to come and worship the Lord today. What a great blessing that is. When you think about what takes place, and I would hope every religion would believe the same, that they are the true church of the living God. Because if you didn't believe that, you would want to seek out where you could say that. That's why I believe it to be right here. That's why we're here. Because I believe this is the true church of the living God. That when we sat there and I had hands laid on me right there, that those hands laid back went all the way back through the true church of the living God. How powerful is that? When you were baptized, you're baptized into the church and went all the way back to where he declared, upon this rock, I will build my church. How great is that? And we have the opportunity to get to say, let us go. Let us go there now with haste. At once, Caleb said, let us go. The mindset we should have is to make sure that we always have let us go. Let us go. And I love how the shepherds put it. They said, let us now go. With haste, they said it. And you know what they followed up with? They went and started telling everybody. They went and started to talk about what they had seen and what they went back with. And then when they come back, in Luke 2 and 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As they left and they started heading home, they started going back out to that flock. I assure you, their flock was right there. It was intact. There wasn't one animal missing out of that flock. They went back and it says that they were glorifying and praising God. When we leave here, that's what we should be doing. We should be glorifying and praising God and looking for the next opportunity that we get to say, let us go back to the house of the Lord. We are blessed to be able to say that. We are blessed that we get to experience this, and we should never take it for granted, and we should be thankful each and every day. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.